Solaria, a song to the breezes from Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro, performed there by Susanna Phillips and Emily Bressan, accompanied by Eric Weimer. I can think of no better way to open this recital, whose music is devoted to the voices of women, than with that exquisite duet by Mozart. In the opera, Countess Almaviva and her maid, Susanna, sisters in adversity, cross the social divide which separates them, and collude together to write a letter to the breezes to ensnare the Countess's philandering husband. Welcome to this series of recitals presented by WFMT Chicago, featuring singers from the Patrick G. and Shirley W. Ryan Opera Center at Lyric Opera of Chicago. These recitals have been generously supported by Julie and Roger Vasquez. I'm your host for the series, Colin Ewer. Voices of women from real life and fiction is the theme for this recital, given by four singers from the Ryan Opera Center: sopranos Emily Bressan and Tracy Canton, and mezzo-sopranos Cecilia Hall and Janae Bridges. For this recital, they're also joined by Ryan Opera Center alumna, Susanna Phillips. Since leaving the Ryan Opera Center in 2007, Susanna Phillips has performed with some of the most prestigious opera companies on both sides of the Atlantic. She made her Metropolitan Opera debut in 2008 as Musetta in La Bohème, has returned to Lyric Opera of Chicago to perform the title role in Lucia de Lammermoor, as well as performing the Countess in The Marriage of Figaro in Bordeaux and Pamina in The Magic Flute in Barcelona. Susanna Phillips continues this recital with songs inspired by one of history's most fascinating women, Mary Stuart, Queen of Scots, whose life was the inspiration for Robert Schumann's final song cycle in 1852, the cycle's five songs spanning 26 years of Mary Stuart's life. Princess Mary Stuart was born in Linlithgow Castle in Scotland on December the 8th, 1542, and became Queen of Scotland at the age of just 6 days. To protect her from warring factions within the country, she was sent to France for safekeeping at the age of six. When the King of France died in 1559, Mary, engaged to his eldest son Francis, became Queen of France as well as Queen of Scotland. Sadly, Francis died the following year, and Mary was forced to return home. In Schumann's first song, Abschied von Frankreich, Farewell to France, Mary bids farewell to her beloved France, the land which had adopted her and had been the guardian of her childhood. "Although the ship bears me away," she says, "there will always be a part of me which will remain in France." When Mary returned to Scotland, the country was in political and religious turmoil. To secure her crown and the royal succession, it was imperative that she marry. Her marriage to Henry Lord Darnley ended in disaster, Mary implicated in his murder just 2 years later. However, they had a son, James, and in the second of Schumann's songs, Nach der Geburt ihres Sohnes, after the birth of her son, Mary prays to Christ to look after him, and if it be Christ's will to let James rule, James and his descendants should rule Scotland forever. Here are Susanna Phillips and Eric Weimer to perform the first two songs in Schumann's cycle about Mary, Queen of Scots, Abschied von Frankreich and Nach der Geburt ihres Sohnes.
Pflege
The political and religious turmoil in Scotland continued, and eventually Mary was forced to abdicate, the Scottish lords insisting that she not only leave Scotland, but her infant son James behind. She would never see James again. Mary then made the biggest mistake of her life. Instead of returning to France, she decided to throw herself on the mercy of her cousin, Queen Elizabeth of England. As soon as she set foot in the country, she was imprisoned and would remain so until her death. She wrote numerous letters to Queen Elizabeth, and in Schumann's third song, An die Königin Elisabeth, to Queen Elizabeth, Mary pours out her heart, telling Elizabeth that all she desires is to finally meet her. Unfortunately, all Mary's efforts came to nothing. Only on stage in Friedrich Schiller's play Maria Stuart and Gaetano Donizetti's opera Maria Stuarda were Mary and Elizabeth ever to meet. Years pass and Mary becomes ill from years of incarceration. What use is the time left to me is the opening line of Schumann's fourth song, Abschied von der Welt, Farewell to the World. My heart is dead to earthly pleasures, and only the joy of death awaits me. Eventually, Mary was implicated in a plot to kill Elizabeth. She was tried for treason and beheaded in Fotheringay Castle on February 8, 1587. She was just 44 years of age. Schumann's cycle closes with Gebet, Mary's final prayer. Lord God, I put my trust in you. Jesus, rescue me from my terrible prison and my never-ending affliction. So here once again is Susanna Phillips, accompanied by Eric Weimer, to sing the final three songs from Schumann's cycle, An die Königin Elisabeth, Abschied von der Welt, and Gebet.
Nur ein Gedanke, der mich freut und quält, hält ewig in mir den Sinn gefangen, so dass der Furcht und Hoffnung Stimmen klangen, als ich die Stunden ruhelos gezählt. Und wenn mein Herz dies Blatt zum Boden wählt und kündet euch zu sehen mein Verlangen, dann, teure Schwester, fasst mich neues Bangen, weil ihm die Macht es zu beweisen fehlt. Ich sehnen kann im Hafen fast geborgen vom Sturm und Kampf der Wogen festgehalten, des Himmels heitres Antlitz Nacht umgraut. So bin auch ich bewegt von Furcht und Sorgen, vor euch nicht, vor euch nicht,
Ryan Opera Centre alumna Susanna Phillips, accompanied there by Eric Weimer, performed Robert Schumann's cycle of five songs, Gedichte der Königin Maria Stuart. Claude Debussy's Chanson de Bilitis, the Songs of Bilitis, dating from 1899, are set to texts from Pierre Louis' cycle of poems. In his introduction, Louis attributes the poems to a Greek courtesan called Bilitis, whom, he states, wrote them on the wall of a cave in Cyprus. Now, whether this is fact or fiction, these songs inhabit a world of erotic sensuality, an atmospheric recreation of the distant past. The first song is La Flûte de Pan, Pan's flute. It's the day of hyacinths, and a young woman is given pan pipes by her lover. The reeds are well trimmed and stuck to each other by wax sweeter than honey. Sitting on his knee, he teaches her how to play the flute, their lips touching. It grows late, and the young woman, having stayed out too long, knows that her mother will never believe her story that she was looking for a lost belt. In the second song, La Chevelure, Hair, a young woman is told by her lover that he dreamt about her hair encircling his neck like a black necklace. It seemed as if their limbs also entwined as they became one. He looks at her tenderly, placing his hands on her shoulders. She looks away and shivers. Finally, in Le Tombeau des Naiades, the tomb of the water nymphs, a young woman is walking through a snowy wood, following the hoofprints of a satyr. Her lover tells her that the water nymphs and satyrs are dead, and that the hoofprint belongs to a he-goat. Her lover breaks the ice on the stream where the water nymphs used to play, and holding it up to the sky, gazes through it. To perform Claude Debussy's Chanson de Bilitis, here is Ryan Opera Centre mezzo-soprano Janae Bridges, accompanied by Eric Weimer. ¶¶
Que je suis resté si longtemps à chercher ma ceinture cheveux, ma bouche se nourrit.
Claude Debussy's Chanson de Bilitis, performed by Ginny Bridges and pianist Eric Weimer. We leave songs by Robert Schumann and Claude Debussy now and travel across the Atlantic to the United States. And crossing the Atlantic is at the heart of the next item in the program. Vignette Ellis Island is a song cycle by the American composer Alan Lewis Smith, which premiered in 2000. It's based on real-life commentaries recorded by the Ellis Island Oral History Project, taken from immigrants who passed through Ellis Island in the early part of the 20th century. The immigrant stories of personal courage, their hopes and their fears are brought vividly to life in these songs. They tell us about their preparation for America, their voyages across the Atlantic, their time in Ellis Island, and finally their arrival into the United States. The cycle was originally composed for American mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe, and in today's recital, Ryan Opera Center mezzo-soprano Cecilia Hall is going to perform 8 vignettes from the cycle, which tell the stories of 5 women. Cecilia, I understand that this is not the first time you've performed this cycle of songs, so what is it about them which attracts you?
Well, I first encountered these songs in 2010 in Tanglewood. I was a fellow there, and Alan Smith was a teacher there, and he gave me a few selections from his cycle to sing on a recital. And I was instantly drawn to them because they're so accessible. I think both to the audience and as a performer, the texts just spring to life. Usually you start with the text and it's this poem in German from the early 1900s, and you have to find a way in, a way to tell that story. And with these are just regular people telling tidbits from their personal journey into this country. And I think it's incredibly touching and really a joy to get to be a part of telling their story.
Now, the Ellis Island Oral History Project, of course, spoke to both men and women, but in keeping with today's theme for this recital, Voices of Women, you're going to focus on women only, 5 particular women. Before you sing it, could you maybe tell us a little bit about these 5 women?
3 of them come from Germany, 1 comes from Italy, and 1 comes from Yugoslavia. And we actually hear the most today from Anna, who comes from Yugoslavia. But they all were born around the turn of the century and came to the States in the 20s. And when they arrived, they were all between the ages of 8 and 18. And so there's this this sort of joy and liveliness to their stories, even though they were in their 80s when they gave the interviews. You hear in the transcripts this excitement of coming to a new place about which they knew nothing.
So here is Cecilia Hall, accompanied by Eric Weimer, to perform excerpts from Vignette, Ellis Island by Alan Lewis Smith.
Have too much to pack. I had a pair of new shoes and I was walking barefoot because I wanted to save my new shoes for America. And I had a new dress, but I just wore my skirt and blouse because I was saving my new dress for America.
I should never have left her. Kitchen, and I got myself four big cookies, and I put them on my lap, and I'm eating my cookies and admiring those curtains, and my mother peeked in my bedroom, and I was so embarrassed that I had these cookies in my lap. And I was so hungry for cookies. She said, "Don't be embarrassed. Just eat them. Eat all that you." Thank you.
Excerpts from Vignette Ellis Island by Alan Lewis Smith, performed there by Cecilia Hall, accompanied by Eric Weimer. This recital ends with two arias from operas written about women from the American South, one from real life, the other who's fictional. As you'll find out, both women were enslaved and oppressed by the societies in which they lived. Richard Daniel Poor's opera, Margaret Gardner, premiered in 2005 and is based on the real-life story of a Kentucky slave. In the opera, Margaret and her family escape from a plantation in Kentucky and travel to Cincinnati, where, with the help of the Underground Railroad, they intend to travel on to Canada and freedom. While in hiding in Cincinnati, they're found by slave catchers, and Margaret, determined that her children are not forced back into slavery, kills them. Even though Margaret has killed her children, she's tried for destruction of property rather than murder, as her children, being slaves, were not regarded as human beings. The court finds her guilty and sentences her to death. As Margaret climbs the steps to the gallows, she hears that the judges have decided to grant her clemency, but at what a price, a return to slavery. Margaret, exulting in the only freedom that can be hers, pulls on the rope and hangs herself. To sing A Quality Love from Margaret Gardner, here once again is Ginny Bridges, accompanied by Eric Weimer.
Quality love.
Ginny Bridges and Eric Weimer performed A Quality Love from Richard Daniel Poor's opera, Margaret Garner. We travel to Tennessee for the second aria from Carlisle Floyd's 1955 opera, Susanna. The story of Susanna, a disadvantaged young woman living in a small community in rural Tennessee, is loosely based on the apocryphal tale of Susanna and the Elders. In the opera, the village women despise Susanna for her beauty, which clearly attracts their husbands. And when the elders catch her bathing naked in the creek, they assuage their feelings of pent-up lust by shunning her. Things get even worse for Susanna when she's raped by the local preacher, who's then killed by her brother. When the community tries to drive Susanna out of the valley, she chases them away, but she knows that she has severed her ties with the community forever. In her aria, Ain't It a Pretty Night, Susanna gazes at the millions of stars in the night sky, realizing that they can see far beyond her mountains to Nashville, Asheville, and Knoxville, where Susanna knows the folks talk nice and dress nice, like she's seen in the mail order catalogs. One day, Susanna plans to leave the valley and see for herself. So here to sing Ain't It a Pretty Night is Tracy Canton, accompanied by Eric Weimer.
I wonder what it's like out there. buildings and all the street lights, and to be one of them folks
Tracy Canton, accompanied by Eric Weimer, performed Ain't It a Pretty Night from Carla Floyd's opera, Susanna. So from Mozart's Susanna to Floyd's Susanna, we have heard the voices of women from both sides of the Atlantic, and we've also come to the end of this recital given by Tracy Canton, Cecilia Hall, Jeanette Bridges, and Emily Bersan. They were also joined by guest soprano Susanna Phillips, an alumna of the Ryan Opera Centre. The accompanist for this recital was Eric Weimer. The recitals are made possible by the generous support of Julie and Roger Baskes. Thanks to Jenna Rolandi, director, and Dan Novak, manager of the Patrick G. and Shirley W. Ryan Opera Center at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Thanks also to Lyric Opera of Chicago's general director, Anthony Freud. Carolyn Paulin is our producer, and the music producer is Christopher Willis. I'm your host, Colin Ewer. Thanks for listening to the Ryan Opera Centre Recital Series on 98.7 WFMT.